Hey there. My name's Andrew. You might know me from such podcasts as The Happy Hearthstone, of which you probably clicked on the episode to hear and you were expecting to hear me. So, probably don't need to introduce myself. Anyway, we have to talk about something before we jump into this week's episode, because this past week I achieved something that I have been working hard on for quite some time. Long time goal, I'm sure many of you guys can relate. I finally hit Legend for the very first time. And man, I am proud of that achievement. I'm humbled by that achievement. And I'm so thankful for every single one of you guys, because a ton of the listeners of this show and other podcasters just reached out to congratulate me and just encourage me along that entire journey. So I'm so thankful for those of you guys who have been with me through this whole process and on the other side of it. I don't necessarily feel any different, so I'm not sure that it really happened. But anyway, it definitely did happen, and I'm so thankful. The bad news is I actually recorded the episode you're about to hear before I hit that. So if I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm sure there are many of you guys who, man, you want to hit Legend, you want to get there one day, and I have just scavenged every possible tip I can get from anyone who's ever hit it before, and I'm really eager to share those with you guys. I'm sure you're just as eager to hear that. But it would really be a disservice to this episode, the great conversation we had, the great content, to overshadow that with that. So it won't be quite as timely as I wish it could be, but we're definitely going to talk about it on the next episode. I'll give you everything that I've got, and we'll take a really practical look at what you can do to hit that. In fact, I'd love to ask any of our listeners who have hit Legend or do regularly hit Legend, if you've got any tips that maybe might be a little off kilter that I might miss or that you'd like to reemphasize, please send that in an email to me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. I apologize, that's my in-law's dog who just barks at literally nothing. And I can't wait for that episode, but guys, this week I've got a special, special treat for you. I know you're going to love this, so without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who makes some of the best gaming PCs on the planet. If you want all the benefits of building your own computer but have no clue where to start, go ahead and let our friends take care of you. Check them out at doghousesystems.com and use the code MMOREPORTER for a free 128GB solid-state drive upgrade. And by Audible, the best audiobook program in existence. If you have any kind of commute or just wish you read more, I promise you this, Audible is the solution. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter to download a free audiobook today. Hello and welcome to episode 93 of the Happy Hearthstone podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week, man, I got a doozy for you. I've got a feeling a lot of you guys are going to be really happy because this show is going to stir up some old memories. I am really thankful and humbled to be joined by my good friend, Eve Martin. Eve, what is going on?
Oh my gosh, with an intro like that, I don't even know what to say. I was really excited to be able to record with you again. That was really something I was looking forward to.
Absolutely. I mean, so Eve and I go back because we started Velen's Chosen together, and now you're still rocking it. You guys are almost up. I saw you're about to eclipse my podcast in episodes here, because you guys are still going strong over there. But I was really thankful. I knew leaving there that, man, at some point I'd love to get really each of you guys over here. Rob's been on the show. Grant, I mean, he's doing better than I did, so I resent him for that. So I was like, let's have Eve over, okay? And that was perfect.
Oh my goodness, they're going to listen to this and just laugh their butts
I off. Kid, obviously. Well, I don't kid about Grant doing a better job than I did, but I do kid about resenting him because you guys are doing a great job. But Eve, can you tell our listeners a little bit about just kind of, I don't know, your perspective of how we got started with Velen's Chosen and what that meant for you?
It just seemed like fate looking back on it, because it was just really all of the stars aligning and getting us together and us all being really like having good chemistry together. I don't know how often that happens, that you just grab three random people, go, let's make a podcast, and then it works.
And it was totally random too, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it was Rob who sent out the tweet and was like, is anyone interested in making a Hearthstone podcast? And you and me were like, I'm in. Let's do this.
I was looking back through when I messaged you on Twitter to see if you'd be interested. And our last message was, hey, I guess I should send you my email because we're co-hosts now on this show. But it was funny how random it started and yet really became friends and created something special through all that. So really excited to have you on the show. Eve, for our listeners who aren't familiar with you or Villains Chosen, could you tell us a little bit about just your story, getting into gaming, how you got into Hearthstone, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I started with a World of Warcraft addiction. So I was playing that I played it for 5 years and got to the point where I got married and I had kids and playing on a raid team. And it's basically like a job. It's like,
yeah, it is.
It got to the like 6 hours a day kind of deal. I was that into it and it couldn't go on. So I had to stop and pull back and like delete the game. And I love you, Blizzard, but for my own emotional safety, I had to step back from it. Sure. But I still really loved the community and I really loved Blizzard's works and stuff like that. So when Hearthstone kind of popped up on the scene, I was like, this is a way that I can enjoy all of their characters and the story and kind of like touch back on all my memories of World of Warcraft, but in a way that you can just pick up and drop and pick up and drop whenever. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited about that. And ever since I was in high school, I played Magic the Gathering. So I feel like that gave me kind of a background in card games. It might have given me a little bit of a leg up rather than just like coming into card games for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm a gamer. I play lots and lots of games. I was super excited about the fact that Blizzard and Bungie were teaming up because I love Destiny.
That's been your crack since it came out.
Oh my gosh. Just the first time I heard Blizzard was going to be inviting them to the Battle.net app, I was like, this is my dream.
My two favorite companies working. Oh, wait, they've always been working together, but they're working more together, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, like sister companies. Yeah, just really great communities. And you know what? I think that's probably why our random getting together to make a podcast worked, because the Hearthstone community is generally really, really positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have people who love the game and want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's me.
That's fun. Tell for our listeners who aren't familiar, can you tell them a little bit about Villains Chosen and kind of where you guys are at today and what your podcast is about?
Well, we started out we wanted to kind of carve our niche out in the Hearthstone community because, like I said, lots of people love it and want to talk about it. So there's a ton of podcasts out there. And we wanted to go, what makes us special? So we wanted to go budget-centered, like free-to-play, don't have all the legendaries, don't have all the cards, you know, talk about decks that people can play who don't have everything and kind of really focus in on the free-to-play and the budget player. And recently we were trying to go in a sort of different direction, keeping the budget player in mind, but going more in a teaching direction of how to learn how to play Hearthstone, how to play all the decks that are out there. Because we were feeling a little like we can't talk about these decks because they have too many legendaries in them. And that was stifling when there's like fun decks out there. And we're like, well, we're a budget podcast, so we got to pick this one over here, which is maybe not as great. And I know a lot of our listeners started from the beginning, so they're getting bigger and bigger card pools, and they're more able to play more expensive decks. So we didn't want to kind of leave them out by kind of staying really budget-centered. So now we're kind of covering all of it.
Yeah, that's great. And obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but you guys kind of have the best team in the world. So you want to shout out the guys that you work with over there?
Absolutely. Rob is our captain who steers the ship. He keeps us on point, except for when he wanders off on a tangent.
he's prone to that.
And Grant comes with this amazing teaching perspective. Like he's able to really get into how the mindset of a person is when they're playing Hearthstone and help them get better playing decks. So that helps us a lot.
It's almost like he's a teacher by trade or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you would think, right?
He is, in case you don't know, but that's awesome.
He's a teacher, yeah. He's
great. Well, I'm thrilled to have you on the show, Eve. It's like old times in a way, but it's something new, so that's always fun to do. So I'd love to start off the show the way that we always do around here and ask you why you're happy today.
Oh, my goodness. I was thinking I was really happy about the way things are going with Felon's Chosen, but this week in particular, I was just all about the marriage of Blizzard and Bungie working together. Like, that was what was union. Making me, yeah, beautiful union. Just really excited about, like, my clan over with Bungie, maybe meeting up with my friends over at Blizzard, and, like, the cross marriage of the two communities. Now, like,
I'm sure you've thought this through, but because you've played the original Destiny on PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah.
So are you playing it on PC for the sequel or PS4? What are you going to do?
Like, that's the problem, is that when it comes to a first-person shooter, I'm much more comfortable with the console, with the controller, than I'm not a great PC gamer. Like, I was able to handle it for playing World of Warcraft.
Sure, yeah.
But for a first-person shooter, I just am not good.
That's totally fair. And you know what? Honestly, I was there at one point, but I've gotten a lot better since getting into Overwatch and stuff like that. But I totally get that it's like, I need a controller.
Yep.
I'm just saying, you can plug a controller into a PC also. I'm just saying. So
for what it's worth. That's true. But you know what? I don't even know if it's going to be available on a Mac.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of important for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of Mac-centric in my life, so yeah, that might be a problem if they're only going to be on PCs.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll figure it out.
Yep.
Well, good. Well, I'm happy because I finally made the move to Colorado, and I made it. I'm here. So it's been a blur of a week, as any of you who have ever moved in your life know, but it's really nice to be on the other side of at least getting most of our stuff out here. And my wife is going to be back with us. She and our daughter, are finishing up out in Oklahoma, finishing up the school semester. And they'll be joining us in a week and a half, me and the dog. And so it's just nice to be out here finally. And also, I started my job out here. So I've been working remotely for the past month, which has been really nice. But now I'm around the team and I get to be around them and the energy of just, you know, starting up a product and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. Also, I actually got to guest host on a different podcast. So it's like triumvirate podcast here. But I got to guest host on Hero Power and just had an awesome blast with those guys. Zeroshi has been on the show before and we had a great time. So be sure to check out that episode on your podcast provider of choice, or you can find them at heropowerhs.com. We talked about the Murloc Paladin deck that I used for most of my time on the ladder this month. So if you've been curious about that or want to hear some more in-depth stuff, I went into all that with them. So that's all the fun.
We've been like getting almost the entire cast of Coin Concede onto our show. We're like slowly.
You have, yeah.
It's all of them. So
you're halfway there.
It's so awesome that all the different podcasts are so comfortable with just inviting all the other podcasts onto
Oh, absolutely.
Our show.
Well, we said it before, when the tide rises, all ships rise with it, you know? So,
right.
So we're always for it. And it kind of makes sense in a masochistic way that we all enjoy talking about this game. So being asked to talk more about it really isn't much skin off our back as long as we can. But with that, let's get into the news that's been going on. I hope that this isn't new news for you, but there was a free card available, and it was just one day. So if you missed it, sorry? But I think it was May 20th. Anyone who logged in that day got a free Fight Promoter card, which was an epic from the Mean Streets of Gadget Sand set. It's kind of random, and the reaction for the community was really interesting because they haven't really done this before. They gave away a free Volcanosaur Golden during their ramp up to Un'Goro, but they hadn't thrown out a card from an older set that was just free. And so a lot of people were kind of asking, why would you do this? It seems random. And Ben Brode actually said that he was inspired by Free Comic Book Day, which is a thing in America. I don't know. Is it in Canada also, Eve?
Yeah. Or,
okay. So it's probably international. But it's a day where comic book stores just give away one free comic book just to kind of encourage people to come in and check stuff out. And Ben Brode wanted to do the same thing, just kind of give something away, see if it inspired interaction. I mean, did you have this card, Eve? Was this something valuable
for
you?
I didn't own it at all. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. The reaction, like you said, of the community.
Some people seemed mad.
Yeah, of looking a gift horse in the mouth, basically, of not just saying thank you, but going, why? Why are you doing this? How often is this going to happen? Why this particular card? And just like all of the conversation that came up about it was really interesting to see.
And I get why people would just be confused, but to the point where they're like almost offended. It's like, are you kidding me? They just gave you a free card. And they don't have to do that, by the way. It reminds me in a lesser way of when iTunes gave away that free U2 album. Do you remember that?
People were so angry. Oh, how dare gosh. You give me a music that I don't want.
And they were mad because it was forced to show up in their library and they could not remove it until Apple finally gave them away too. But yeah, stuff like that just kind of confuses me, especially with a good band like U2, which is a fact. Don't write me because you're incorrect if you believe anything else. But this isn't a music podcast. This is Hearthstone. So another big thing that's been going on, we mentioned before, I think it was the last episode, talking about how this is kind of a month of wild and how Blizzard's running this wild tournament for the top 64 legend players on each server. And they've released a few more details, which actually caused a pretty big uproar from people who were really into this. You see, Australian Hearthstone players have always defaulted to the America server, but for some reason, when they released some more information, they said that you have to get legends specifically on the server assigned to your continent. And Australia, Singapore, some other countries around there were on the Asia server in these rules. So those people who had, you know, try-harded all month and really gotten up there were pretty upset because they had basically wasted their time because they had qualified on a server that they weren't specifically qualified for. Now, Blizzard, being as amazing as they are, have resolved that. And it's kind of in a complicated way that I don't really want to get into. But the end result is that those people are going to get, if you're kind of in a weird region, they've reassigned what your home server is, sort of. So really glad. And it's kind of a shame that it's sort of rolled out this way, because I love that they're doing something to promote Wild that's different, something that lets anybody qualify it. I think that's really, really cool. But it's really been oddly implemented. Not a lot of, you know, foresight or information given out. I don't know. Have you paid attention to this much, Eve?
I just feel like there's things that happen that they haven't foreseen. But like you said, it's really good that they're quick to, you know, make the people happy to change it so that they can fix it and, you know, make the people who worked really hard get rewarded for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, whenever you start something new and try something new, there's going to be a bunch of things that you didn't see coming, problems that crop up. And yeah, so props to them for getting right on it and fixing their problem.
Even for a great company like them, they can miss stuff. And I hope that they can be a little more proactive, because this whole situation just seems not like them. So it's weird, you know.
And that's the thing, right? Because Blizzard is usually so polished and
so polished,
seamless,
yeah,
that whenever something crops up, we're like, wow, that's odd. This isn't usually a Blizzard problem. Like, this usually doesn't happen. So it's a lot more jarring for us.
But we should get on to happy stuff anyway. You actually added this to the news. There was a very profound member of the community who made it to Legend.
Yeah, Yongwu with Divine Fire Dragon, which I definitely pasted and copied, and I'm going to be trying out myself.
It looks fun.
I am excited about it. I'm glad that he decided to do it with like a special deck that not a lot of people know about, not a lot of people were playing, to just kind of give it more visibility. So I totally want a deck. Check it out.
And I hope I'm not off on this, but for some reason I just kind of get this perspective that people who are developers, you know, for games don't necessarily play it a lot. Like, they probably play it some so that they can know, but I mean, they spend all day thinking about this game. So to go home and then spend your free time, you probably get a little bit of time to play at work and stuff just to play test. But for him to play a deck that's not necessarily like the top tier deck and be able to make it to Legend, like, that's really, really impressive. So big props to Yongwu. I know you and I actually got to interview him on Valen's Chosen before, so he was a lot of fun to talk to, and big accomplishment. And it's his first Legend run this year. I guess he's done it before. I haven't seen that, but
yeah, I'm glad that they kind of make that visible. They show the decks that they're playing, and they show what ranks they're at, because it kind of gives you a a feeling of community. You're playing with the people who are making the game and, you know, seeing where they're at, which is really neat.
Makes it even more alive than it already is. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the news we've got. Now, Eve, if you don't know, is kind of prone to this one deck. And she's not a one-trick pony by any definition of that. But you have, since I've known you, Eve, you've always had one deck that was your favorite. And what deck is that?
Dragon Priest.
Hey! And anyone who's ever listened to Eve talk about Arso knows that already. But we thought that we'd bring Eve on to kind of talk about the history of Dragon Priest, because that deck archetype has been through a lot of different iterations. And so we're kind of going to take a look back. We're going to take a look at what it is currently and sort of just dedicate this whole show to the Dragon Priestess herself to be able to talk us through and maybe learn a thing or two about this. And obviously it's viable if Yongwoo's taking it to Legends. So I'll give the floor to you, Eve. Take us into the mountains of the dragons.
Okay. Obviously the best thing about Dragon Priest is the dragons. The first dragons that we ever saw in Hearthstone, we got a bunch of classic ones that stay around forever and never go out. Fairy Dragon, Twilight Drake, which got so good that it was taken away to the Hall of Fame, unfortunately. But
that's Azure Drake.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. Twilight Drake is the one whose health goes up with how many cards you have in your hand.
There you go. Yep.
Azure Drake went away because it was so good.
Too good.
Ysera, Maligos, Alexstrasza, Nozdormu, Onyxia, and Deathwing. So those were our first dragons. Just our experience of them in Hearthstone were these massive, powerful, amazing legendaries. Mm-hmm. And then they added to them in the Blackrock Mountain expansion. And it looked like they were trying to make dragon decks a thing, but they didn't quite hit critical mass. They didn't have enough that were, I guess, strong enough on their own and also synergistic with each other. People tried to make it work, but let's see. Dragon Egg, Blackwing Technician, which definitely stuck around long enough to make it into a Dragon Priest. Dragon King Sorcerer, which I tried to make work for a while, but I guess not enough spells in Priest to kind of buff it up enough quickly to make it good. Hungry Dragon, which in Arena did very well. Blackwing Corruptor, essential to Dragon Priest. Draconid Crusher, which was brutal in Warrior for a while. Volcanic
Dragon
Drake.
Warrior. Tempo Warrior.
Yes. Yeah. Nefarian, Cro-Magus, Dragon Consort, which Paladin tried to make work for a long time, but I don't think the success was great.
I think you mean Kibler tried to make happen for that guy was so dedicated to making it work.
And Twilight Whelp, which did work out very well for Priest. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can kind of see the bones of the Priest deck, but not quite enough. And then the Grand Tournament gave us Twilight Guardian.
Hello.
Very good against aggro decks. Thank you for the taunt. Mm-hmm. And Chilmaw, also great for getting rid of all the little opponents, tiny little minions that they try to overrun you with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were still, Priest was still kind of weak against the other really strong decks of the day. I think, you see your dog looking through the glass. She's so
you do.
Yeah, Priest got Wormrest Agent, also a great tool against aggro, and Warrior got Alexstrasza's Champion, another aggro tool for their belt.
That's pretty good.
With the charge. Then we got some more dragons in Old Gods, Midnight Drake, Scaled Nightmare, Deathwing Dragon Lord. People Hello. Were like, there was a little bit of, why make a second Deathwing? A little bit of controversy when it first came out. And this is when I started to really play it a lot. Because I loved the idea of taking Deathwing Dragon Lord and putting him down and then having a whole bunch of huge dragon bodies in my hand. And mm-hmm. then when they finally got rid of Deathwing Dragon Lord, the iconic like wings and dragon shadows going across mm-hmm. the board and just dropping all of these big things in front of them and going, now what are you gonna do? How are you going to deal with this?
And it's really interesting to me because they tried a bunch of different things, it seemed, with these dragon cards to kind of make them work. I mean, they wanted the flavor to be, hey, these are big minions, like you said, you know, big impact and everything like that. So it makes sense that stuff like Blackwing Corruptor or Blackwing Technician would be smaller minions. And it gives you a reason to hold on to a big minion and kind of get some value out of it before you can even play it. But then Deathwing Dragonlord was sort of the inverse where, okay, here's this really big minion that's going to let all those big minions in your hand come out for free. So it's just, you know, snowballing kind of. And yeah, Dragonlord is really cool. I thought it wasn't necessarily like a shoe-in, but the times that it worked, I mean, when you could even just get a free Ysera on your opponent's turn, that was pretty nuts.
My favorite thing was putting down one Deathwing with another in my hand. So as soon as you get rid of the one, the other one gets pulled out without you having the, like, destroy everything on the board and discard your hand mechanic to play him.
That's pretty
awesome. So they're like, oh, I just got rid of one 12-12, and now I got another 12-12 staring me in the face.
Right.
Yeah, that was so fun. Yeah, they tried a couple different mechanics, like, you know, spells buffing things up. Obviously, if you're holding a dragon in your hand, it makes these things more powerful. But that's what kind of held it back for a while, I think, because you had to kind of have this critical mass of dragons that worked really well in a deck so that mm-hmm. you would be okay with holding onto them in your hand and having the proper kind of tempo. So you had one to drop on this turn and then another one to drop on this turn. And not too many that needed a dragon in your hand in order to work properly, because otherwise you were pretty much out of luck if you didn't have a dragon, because that was a really weak card otherwise.
Right.
So I hit 10 that month, which I was really happy about because I wasn't completely, you know, hitting that rank, you know, every single month. So I felt mm-hmm. like this is
a big accomplishment.
Fun. Yeah. And yeah. It got me to 10. I was really happy. And then Karazhan gave us Netherspite Historian. I want to say that's probably my favorite. Because the ability to just discover dragons is amazing, especially with Bran.
And I can look back because we did the review episode for that, and I specifically remember us being confused by that card and being like, why would you pay 2 mana for a 1/3? And now on the other side, like you said, I mean, shoo-in. And now looking back, the question I wish I would have asked myself is, would I pay 2 mana for just discover a dragon? Yep.
I probably would.
So throw a 1/3 body on. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. That's fine. You know, because that's really what the powerful effect of that is. Getting another Draconid operative. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's where we're at today, at least. So back to another Spider Historian, though. That was a big deal.
Yeah, because Discover gives you a higher chance of pulling out your class cards, and Draconid Operative is a priest card. You saw that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I guess back then you could even get Twilight Whelp, which mm-hmm. I guess that's not really what you want since it's just a dinky little guy that helps you in the early game.
I saw them as triggers for other dragon cards. Like if I got really unlucky at the beginning of the game and didn't have a whole lot of dragons and a lot of big dragons that needed dragons to trigger them, I might just grab something so I could have it and play it. But yeah, I pulled Deathwing whenever I saw him. If I saw Deathwing, I took him.
Oh yeah, just reset the board, 12-12.
He's like, can you think of anything else in the game that is just like a save your butt?
I mean, you've got Doom and Twisting Nether, right? But
they don't leave you with a body on the
exactly.
board.
Exactly. Now, I hate to say that there is something, but there is, because Disguised Toes totally had a meme lock deck that ran, what's his face? The Guardian, Medivh.
Medivh, right.
And the whole idea was you get Atiesh, and then you play Twisting Nether, it destroys everything, and you get a random 8-drop minion from it. That kind of does the same thing, but that's a huge setup as opposed to a one card that just, you know, does it all for you.
Okay, so you get the card after the spell goes off.
Right.
Okay, cool. Because I was wondering how that would work on the stack, whether you would cast the spell, get the minion, and then it would be destroyed by Doom.
That wouldn't make as much sense, and I hope I'm not wrong about that. But obviously, I haven't played it much because it's a meme deck. It's a meme idea. Deathwing is actually reliable and can be used, so there really isn't anything like it.
Depending on your matchup, he could be my "this just saved my whole plan" card.
Yeah, for sure.
He's cool. What else? We got Bookworm, which is really fun.
Golly.
For more removal.
I talk about another card that we didn't really see coming, but holy cow. I mean, being able, it's a free Shadow Word Pain, basically. So you can have four Shadow Word Pains in your deck. It, pretty effective, even today, where you've got a bunch of low attack minions trying to flood the board and stuff.
And they hide them behind taunts, and they think that they're safe. And then you put out Bookworm Goat.
Nope.
It's dead.
I'll take care of that.
Then we come to Gadgetzan. And yeah, that pretty much made Dragon Priest. Draconid Operative and Dragonfire Potion.
Golly.
That removal that we were missing, just like this massive destroy everything and all my dragons are safe. Didn't work that well against the mirror match, but at the beginning when not a lot of people were playing Dragon Priest and you were up against every other class, it was okay. The mirror match was like, my dragons are okay too. You did nothing.
And I don't know about you, but I had to remind myself of that because there were several times I would play Dragonfire Potion to clear their minion and then just realize, oh, that's a Draconid Operative too.
Or like, a Ysera.
Moment of silence for the Yseras that should have died and did not.
And Draconid Operative. Yeah. That just... really almost broken card, I think we can say. Like Blizzard almost said, yeah, we know, but
it's so good.
We really had this last chance to make Dragon Priest a thing because we knew like a lot of these cards are all cycling out at the end of the year. And we know it's only going to be around for this amount of time. So we're putting it out there.
Right. I think that was the only thing that got me through that time too, was knowing that, okay, on the other side of this, what is Dragon Priest going to have? You know, it seemed like the archetype was at least not going to be as strong as it was then. Because you had so many tools with all of the Black Ring Black Rock Mountain cards and TGT. I mean, just crazy.
Yeah, but I think that that's why they did it, was because their dream had never been realized. Their Dragon Priest or their Dragon anything had never really taken over the meta. So
sure.
It worked. Draconid Operative, Dragonfire Potion did it. Kind of pushed it over the edge and made Dragon Priest super powerful and all over the place. Draconid Operative obviously lets you discover a card in your opponent's deck. And I can't count the amount of times that I got their legendary. Like their Ragnaros or their, you know, massive spells. And there's kind of a running joke that Priest works best when they steal other classes' cards.
Which they do pretty well.
We don't have that many like awesome cards of our own, so we steal your stuff, we steal your spells. And so that's the way Draconid Operative works, and it works really well.
That it does.
So this was the most fun I've ever had in Hearthstone. I really like decks that just kind of play on tempo. It might kind of seem like an easier way to play, just putting down something powerful every turn, like a big thump, try and take care of this, try and deal with this card every turn, and that's kind of what Dragon Priest does. But they also have a lot of answers for what other people can put down on the board. They got a lot of taunt to prevent against aggro. They got a lot of like make you really mad by taking your stuff and throwing it back at you. So they were able to deal with pretty much everything in the meta at that time, except for the mirror match. I think the mirror match was the hardest matchup for Dragon Priest.
Because it just forced you to think differently, and you could each get unending Draconid Operatives off of your Draconid Operatives and your Nether Spite Historians. And I guess that's still possible if it happens, but it was a lot more likely then to run into that mirror.
It happened to me a lot, and he would be pulling them off of me, and it would just keep going on forever, and it would come down to like who made the best choice of what to steal from the other opponent's deck,
or just who had the choice of Draconid Operative literally every time, because you can't beat infinite 5/6 for 5 apparently.
As soon as I saw my 2 Draconid Operatives, I knew they weren't going to be pulling it out of my deck anymore, so that was
that's
kind
actually
of
a good
relief.
Thing. Like, sort of want to draw through your deck, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like, remove that option for them.
That's funny.
Battle Cries, obviously, most of the dragon cards have Battle Cries, so Bran just became awesome with this.
Yeah, he was
being
a big
able
deal.
To pull 2 cards with your Draconid Operatives every time, or Historian, Nether Spite Historian, getting to discover 2 dragons every time, so like 4 dragons altogether if you manage the dream. He just made everything really powerful. And using Cabal Talon Priest to buff him up so he had like 10 health and became very hard to get rid of unless you had hard removal.
Yeah.
Just, I think he actually made the deck really powerful too. Without mm-hmm. him, I don't think it would have been as crazy runaway strong as it was.
Well, I think that's exactly it. He empowered being able to just have nuts turns where it's really hard to get back or to come back from it.
Yeah. So yeah, the final incarnation of Dragon Priest today, now that we've lost quite a lot of our tools. I don't know. Have you seen it in Wild? I don't play Wild that much.
I don't play Wild, but honestly, I was thinking about it as we're talking through this because now we've lost Blackrock Mountain, which was obviously a huge hit to it because you've got all these really powerful dragons and cards. Lost TGT, but the thing is in Wild too. And League of Explorers, but in Wild, all those things are still there. So yeah. I was thinking, honestly, Dragon Priest should be in a really good spot over there. Wild is getting to a point now where it's not necessarily about what are the good decks, but what are the most broken decks. You know, like Reno Lock is still so powerful over there because you have an array of different cards to choose from. Reno Lock is not seen in Standard as much because you have a very limited pool of cards to choose from. So I think with Dragon Priest, like, there's so many cards that were powerful back then. But today, I mean, in Un'Goro, I don't know. Did it get anything from Un'Goro?
The one that I'm seeing the most is the create, like, the spell that's create eight mana?
Oh, Free from Amber?
Yes, Free from Amber.
Okay.
Let me see that one, which I get dragons out of. I can't really think of any dragons that they added in Un'Goro.
I'm sorry. 8 mana, 4/8 with taunt that deals 2 damage to all minions.
Oh, right. Yes.
He's kind of a big deal, right?
He really is.
And it turns out having an AoE effect in a minion is kind of powerful. So, and that's something that now Dragon Priest will struggle with a little bit because all they have right now is Holy Nova because they lost Excavated Evil. Now and Dragonfire Potion, obviously. So I'd be really surprised if we don't see some kind of iteration, but in the upcoming expansions, but even just with that dragon and the Dragonfire Potion.
Primordial Drake. There we go.
Thank you. My
brain was searching and searching.
I'm usually so good at that, but I was totally lost on that one. Now with Primordial Drake and Dragonfire Potion, you got some good options.
Yongwu actually put in, what is it, horror? Something, power word horror? Or it's the one that gets rid of all...
Yeah, Shadow Word Horror.
Shadow Word Horror. There we go. And he found that to be good in his deck that he took to Legend to get rid of all, I believe, 3 or lower attack minions.
Yeah, and I think it's a really interesting choice, especially with as much aggro druid and Bloodlust Shaman decks that we're seeing, or the Evolved Shaman, because those two decks specifically just have a ton of low attack minions that it would be really nice to just get rid of all of them with a single card. So interesting, because that card's never... I guess I remember seeing Raynad try it out once, but that's like it. So
I've just seen it in Brawl.
Yeah, but like, that could been some that right but that could be an AoE that works as well. So I don't know, what do you think for where Dragon Priest is headed? I mean, what could the future hold for this?
Well, right now it's got a lot of synergy with the inner Fire Priest, right?
Right.
Because they've got mm-hmm. big bodies and they got a lot of health to start out with a lot of them. So that works good for putting a body down for inner Fire. So that's kind of their end game at the moment. But mm-hmm. I kind of feel sad saying it, but I think that they put a lot of energy into it and it's kind of going to be left alone for a while.
You think?
Because dragons... just, it doesn't make sense to not make them powerful because they're dragons.
Right.
So if they make a dragon card, it kind of has to be epic. It has to have a cool ability. And they already had, the broken Dragon Priest deck. And they did it and it's done. So I think it's going to be put on the shelf for a little while. So like you said, it can be played in Wild and it can be very broken there. But I don't think they're going to be trying to give us more tools for it anytime soon.
Wah, wah.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it had its day.
Yeah, and it's nice that even now it is extremely viable. It may not be the most overpowered deck on the ladder, but it's really good. There are even some Kazakus Dragon Priests that have done pretty good. I saw someone, a pro player, make it to Legend with one of those decks. And those style decks, like I said, they get better with a larger card pool. So it might get better as the year goes on. I'd really be interested to see. It doesn't take a lot of cards to make Dragon Priest really, really, really good, you know? So I think like you're saying, they know that and they're going to be really careful. I'd be interested to see if we see maybe some kind of mid game, something like Twilight Drake or Azure Drake that isn't quite as impactful as like Twilight Guardian was, because that really enabled a lot, but is still like an option that you can throw in or something like that. Because dragons obviously can't die because everyone likes them.
Yes. And
it's an interesting tribe. You know lore way better than I do. So I don't know if there are any other really iconic places that were dragon filled, like Black Rock Mountain, that they could do an expansion on.
Well, the Cataclysm expansion kind of featured dragons very heavily because there's like your major ones, which are actually already in the game, like Alexstrasza, Maligos, Ysera, Nosdormu, and Deathwing, mm-hmm. were the dragon aspects.
Okay.
Like, they were like life and time and earth, and like they kind of watched over these different aspects of earth. So mm-hmm. I think that's why they put them in the game to begin with and made them super duper powerful in their own way, because in World of Warcraft, they're these huge, timeless, iconic guardians, you know, of these different aspects. So they featured very heavily in one of the later expansions. So it's possible. Chromie, we haven't seen.
Do you Chromie remember her the from
Heroes
dwarf?
Of the...
Yeah, I've played her in Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm, yeah. Mm-hmm. She is a big character in World of Warcraft. I forgot that they put in Rathion, and maybe the reason I blanked on it is because they specifically didn't make him a dragon.
Right, because
he is a dragon.
He's incognito, right?
Yes, they had him in human form with the turban and everything. He looks right, so right, cool. Right, right, right. But he's in disguise. And then just like this epic legendary guy didn't even make it into any decks. I almost crafted him just because.
We really thought he was going to be good, but he was, I don't know. I remember actually Force Bates. He's a listener. He really liked it in his decks. He had a lot of success with it. So I don't know. Maybe Rathion hasn't seen his day yet.
And it would be cool if they made OP. His dragon version. Like the dragon version of Rathion.
Oh, that'd be interesting. And I wonder if he could play off of the other one. Like, if you draw him, then fill your hand with dragons or something like that.
Oh, that would be epic.
I mean, that would be a meme card, like, but that would be a lot of fun, I bet.
If you pull Rathion with Rathion, fill your hand with dragons.
Or fill the board with dragons. Anyway, that, now we're just being ridiculous.
If Blizzard listens to this podcast, and we know you do,
it might be an idea, just saying. Well, that's cool. Well, any other thoughts about where Dragon Priest has been, where it is, where it's going? I mean,
there's... for me, it was interesting to see the journey of like their intent of creating these powerful cards and kind of watching and waiting to see what the community would do with it, and then kind of adding a bit more and saying, is this enough, is this the right amount, and then adding a bit more, because it really seemed to me their intent of trying to make it a card deck, mm-hmm. and then going, okay, we know what we need to do to make this a thing, and it's close enough to the end of the year, so we'll just like make this overpowered combo and give it to you for a certain amount of time, and here, have fun with it, enjoy it. It just gave me this insight into kind of how the Blizzard team works and how they feel about the game.
Yeah,
just watching how Dragon Priest came along, so that was really neat for me.
I think they're intentional about giving each of the classes a few different identities, or at least one, you know. And dragons have always kind of been one of the things that made sense for priests, especially with the high health minions like Ysera. I mean, you can just keep healing her and get infinite value, basically. So I'd be really surprised if this is the end of it. They might give Dragon Priest a breather for a bit, just because it really has had quite a bit of OP-ness.
Yeah.
But just because it has been pretty OP before, you know, but I think
the last of it,
I don't think so. I think we're far from that. Because I think it's part of the identity of priests to an effect, you know, like And I don't know if that's even a WoW thing or not, but it definitely is a gameplay style, you know.
Can I say something I just thought of?
Please, yeah.
In World of Warcraft, Anduin, who is the class hero for Priest, actually best friends with Rathion, who is the Black Dragon legendary.
Did you just realize that?
Yes.
Hey, we're uncovering new layers of lore here on Happy Hearthstone.
I didn't even remember that, but that is funny. Oh, wow. That works really well. Now I just need to craft him and put him in the deck because.
Now you're going to feel a little bit like you have to. I mean.
Yeah. Aw. I wonder if they have any interactions on the board. Can you drop him down if he sees an Anduin on the other side?
We could probably search YouTube real quick and find out, but
I'll discover that after I craft him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I know that you mentioned on here also that you reached rank 5 and got Golden Priest with Dragon Priest 2. So this deck hasn't just been fun for you, but really effective as well, yeah?
I feel like it kind of gave me some, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I'm a Dragon Priest player. I hit 500 wins in Priest. Like, gave me some legitimacy to myself when I finally hit 500 wins. So, yeah, that felt good. And rank 5 felt really good, too. Mom Legend,
that's right. I mean, every time you hit one of those floors now, it's just a huge accomplishment, especially if you haven't hit it before. So, no, that's awesome. Man, I know I've learned a bit about this. I'm kind of really encouraged to go back and try it. And Priest is one of the few classes I haven't gotten my 500 wins with yet. So I want to make it work. This deck list from Young Woo looks cool. The one from that pro player that I mentioned looks cool. And actually, we're going to talk in our community section about one too. But we won't jump too far ahead because before we get there, we've got the Dust Bowl to go to. So just want to thank our faithful listener, Jake Crawford. Man, Jake donates to the show every single month and so thankful for that, man. This section is possible because of you. So the Dust Bowl is where we open some packs that have been donated and we're going to talk about the ones that really caught our eye, ones that we would keep or that we would dust depending on our collection and stuff like that. So hopefully as you're opening packs, maybe you got a few more or you're getting them through Arena and whatnot, that these are ones that you should watch out for to make a space for or just get rid of immediately. So we'll start off with our ones to keep. And my one to keep was the best one because it was the legendary that we got. And what do you know, on an episode that we would talk about Priest so much, it was Awaken the Makers, which is the quest for Priest, which is summoning, I believe it's 7 Death Rattle minions.
Yep.
And then your reward is going to be Amara, Warden of Hope, which is a 5-mana 8/8 with taunt that sets your hero's health to 40, which is mega Reno, right? Like, insane.
Incredible, yeah.
But getting those Death Rattle minions is a little bit tough. Now, my reasoning for wanting to keep it isn't necessarily what you would think, because this deck, or this card specifically in Standard, isn't really working right now. And Wild is very popular because you've got Piloted Shredders, you've got Sludge Belchers, you've got a ton of options, very strong Death Rattle. And don't forget Dr. Boom, right? 2 Death Rattle minions, hello. So there's lots of options to make it work on there. Standard is not quite working yet, but my idea is that we've got 5 more expansions that will be released if they keep on track, which I'm sure they will. And they might make more, who knows, between now and when this card will rotate out of Standard. I'm going to be so surprised if we don't see some Death Rattle minions that make this completely viable and maybe even a problem. Like, as much as people were sick of Reno, I think we're going to get to a place where Quest Priest is so powerful that people are sick of it and are running Alexstrasza just so that they can counter it, you know? But it's a really cool card. Have you gotten to play with it or do you like it?
Yes, I actually didn't get it all out of all of my original packs that I opened. Excuse me. So I had to craft it because I was on a Priest kick and that's like my favorite class at the moment. So I had to try it. And definitely at the beginning of the month when this first came out and everyone was trying all the new stuff, I did make some progress with it.
Nice.
Before all the aggro started.
Yeah. Yeah, once when people don't quite know what works yet, you can sort of get away with anything. And it's not like it's a terrible deck right now, even.
No.
It's a fun deck to play, I think. But if you don't get that 40 health, man, those aggro decks will take you down fast. So Anyway, but
if you do get that 40 health, then they're there's no way I can take that down. Like, they run out of steam pretty quick.
And I think we've said it on the show before, but I'm also going to, it's worth repeating again. If you have Akanai Soul Priest on board, do not play Amara because she will kill you. She will set your hero's health to zero because she doesn't actually set it like Alexstrasza does. She actually heals you for whatever the amount is. So that's important. Okay.
Has that happened to you, Andrew?
No, because I actually didn't have this card before, so I'm really excited to try it out. But I did see, I think it was on a Trolden video or something like that. And that's the definition of feels bad, man. If you don't know, you think you're getting healed infinitely and the game's over. So what was yours to keep, Eve?
Well, I saw the Gluttonous Ooze, and I thought definitely for people who don't own Harrison Jones or things like that, there's always a lot of weapons in the meta. I think there's always been like something out there, either warrior or paladin or shaman, that has weapons that you're going to be glad to get rid of. And then getting armor along with that at the same time. That's just good.
Well, and weapons are always going to be in the meta because they're just powerful. I should be careful saying always. There will be some dimensional meta where they don't exist or something, but they're very, very valuable. And especially stuff like Fiery War Axe, True Silver Champion. I mean, those things have been in the meta for a long, long time. I don't think they're going anywhere. So Gluttonous Ooze to take care of it and heal yourself a little bit. It's good, especially against those aggro decks. So if you're coming up against Pirate Warrior, get you
an ooze. Absolutely.
The interesting thing, though, do you want two of these or are you okay with just having one?
I think one is good. Yeah. You don't want to water down your deck too much, because if you go up against something without any weapons, it's kind of...
This is a tech card by definition, which means it's not necessarily core to any kind of play style, but it's something you do want to throw in to sort of increase your survivability and allow you to, you know, last against that pirate warrior who got a 5-6 weapon out of an Azoth's first mate, you know, because
and then make them cry.
Yes. Well, you got to do it before they made it a 5-6, but yeah. All right. So our ones to dust. My choice was Sudden Genesis, which I probably should have pulled up because it, I don't know, many of you may have even forgotten what this card was, but it's a warrior epic spell. So you're going to get a lot of dust from it. And it's sort of a play on Blood Warriors, which was a card from the past. So it's a 5-mana spell that summons copies of your damaged minions. So anything that's damaged on your side of the board, you're going to get a copy of. And, you know, the one deck I've seen make this work is a combo deck for Warrior that gets out Garrosh Hellscream, damages him. And then the next turn, you've got two copies of Sudden Genesis and you play them both. And then you've got four Garroshes with 10 attack and charge. So that's awesome. And I still want to play that deck. But other than that, this card is just so, so high. Like it's Colorado high. You know? No, not really. But this card, it's just too expensive for what it wants to do. And unless you've, you know, comboed it with a Whirlwind or something like that, it's just hard to pull off. I think it's cool. Maybe you want to experiment with it, but I don't know. Do you agree? Disagree?
I was thinking if this came out at the same time as Patron Warrior, it might have had a
place. Oh my gosh. Oh, that, no, 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 no.
Real glad they held on to it and didn't put it out.
Oh my gosh. I vomited a little bit in the back of my mouth when you said that. I mean, and it's, even now, it may have a place in a Grim Patron deck, because on Wild, that could be a thing, but it's just with charge. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm getting nauseous. I need you to tell us what your dusting card is.
Frozen Crusher. And we got a golden one in the packs that you opened. Yeah, so I thought, even worth more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the one that freezes every turn. Like, you get to play it, and then for the next turn it's frozen, and then the next turn you get to play it, and the next turn it's frozen. So it's just kind of not that great.
Is there any deck where you'd want to play it? Because I'm thinking of one where I think it could work.
Where you could silence it?
Yeah, you put it in a Silence Priest, and it's okay. But even in that deck, it's a 6-mana 8-8, and there are better options that you can get earlier. I think it's the early options, like Humongous Razorleaf, that actually make Silence Priest a thing now. It's not these later game minions that you have to do something with. So,
I mean, it could be good with an Inner Fire kind of combo.
Yeah. But I think other minions are better than this one for that. So I think I agree. It's a safe one to dust for sure. Well, cool. Well, thanks again to Jake for that and some cool cards to talk through there. We got an email from a listener, Scott B. So thanks so much for sending that in, man. He sent an email about a deck that he's playing. So he said, on the ladder, I've been playing Kibler's funnest deck ever. So this has been on Hearthpwn a bit. And it's funny, I got this email and I had actually already played this deck, so I found it as well. So I was really excited to see you send that in, Scott. So Scott says, I swapped out one of the Cabal Shadow Priests for Madame Goya. Very interesting pick. And I've been floating around between rank 12 and 15. I need to change it to deal with Pirate Warrior, but I don't understand the meta enough to make the change. So I thought we could kind of look at this. We don't necessarily need to read the deck list, but if you're interested in seeing it, you can go to our show notes, mmoreporter.com. And check it out. It's interesting because the core of this deck is similar to kind of some control priest decks that are out there. So it's got at least the Trailblazer, Medivh the Guardian, the Shadow Visions. Man, that's a card. Shadowward Death, Shadowward Pain, Lyra's in there. But the different cards for it runs one mana Geode, which is a cool card that I've always wanted to work. It's got two Dragonfire Potions, a Free from Amber. And it runs two Tar Creepers. So it's definitely a late game control-y style deck. Eve, do you have any suggestions for, you know, if Scott's running into a lot of Pirate Warrior, what might make this deck more survivable?
Well, the Tar Creeper, if you can pull it, obviously is good. Taunt is what you need against Pirate Warrior. And right. It is a 1/5. So that's a decent amount of taunt. I use Potion of Madness quite a lot against aggro decks.
Yeah. Because
you grab their own minions and then run them into themselves.
Yeah.
But once Pirate Warrior kind of pumps up their stuff enough, that's not going to do you anymore. And there's not a lot of removal. I mean, you've got Priest of the Feast to heal yourself up whenever you cast a spell. Mm-hmm. So if you have that out with Lyra the Sunshard.
Oh my gosh. And you're it's just over.
Cycling through and heal yourself back up to full. Right, they probably right. go, oh, yeah, I'm done. But absolutely. A lot of it is late game, like late game stuff. Wild Pyromancer could be good to mm-hmm. get rid of their stuff if you can heal it up and then just clear their board with all of the fire going out.
With a Powerwood Shield or something.
Yeah, but I think early game, if you wanted to add some taunt to it, that might help you. That's about the only thing I can think, because otherwise you just really need to mulligan hard for those things that you know that are going to tech against them.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that this can be a really strong deck against Pirate Warrior. It's just you really have to mulligan hard for the Potions of Madness, the Tar Creepers, even the Northshire Clerics aren't bad. But the one suggestion I could have, this list runs a Cabal Song Stealer, which is that 5 mana 5/5 that silences something. Take that out and add in the Gluttonous Ooze or an Acidic Swamp Ooze if you don't have that yet. Because that's an early minion that'll be able to get rid of your opponent's weapon that they're starting to cycle out of control with. So that might be something.
And the crabs, they can get rid of pirates.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Galaka Crawlers. Yeah. Get those in there.
I don't have any.
You don't? Isn't it a rare?
Is it? Oh, I keep mixing up which one's the rare and which one's the epic. Is the one that takes care of Murlocs the epic?
Yeah, Hunger Crab's an epic.
And then Galaka Crawler's the rare.
A rare.
So I just need to craft them.
I know I just said Mana Geode's fun, but I would definitely take that out for one of those. And probably take out a Shadow or Death for the second one, because you're not running into too many big minions. And if you can set up, like, the way to destroy a Pirate Warrior is take out their early game. And if you've got minions that are going to stick around, which you can do with, you know, the Radiant Elementals, the Cabal Talon Priest, Priest of the Feast, stuff like that, then you'll be able to trade into those higher cost minions and really be fine, I think.
Yeah, this is good against slower decks, but if all you're seeing on ladder is really fast, then you're going to have to make some big changes.
Yeah. But hopefully you're having as much fun as the person who made this deck list for Kibler, did. Because they called it the funnest deck ever. I don't know about funnest deck ever. That's a
and
pretty big statement.
And pay to win priest? I mean, I don't have Elise.
Yeah, I mean, you got Elise, Medivh, Lyra. I mean, Medivh we got out of One Night in Karazhan, so it's not too bad. But Mana Geode, the Shadow Visions. I mean, if you're playing Priest at all now, you need two Shadow Visions because that card is really, really good.
And Cabal Shadow Priest has been around for a while. So if you've been playing for a while, you probably have it by this point, I think.
It is. But thanks again so much, Scott, for sending that in. Anybody can send in questions, not just Scott B. So be sure to send those in to thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. I'd love to look through any deck list that you're playing with or just hear about your experience, a question you have. Maybe there's something about Dragon Priest or another archetype you want to hear about. And yeah, that'd be fun. No iTunes reviews this week, so sad face with a little bit of a tear. But I know so many of you guys have left reviews in the past, so just want to thank you so much if you've taken the time to get on and do that. Really appreciate you doing that. If you haven't, it just takes a few minutes, and it's the cheapest, best way to support the show. So go swing by iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to the show, and let them know what you think. All right. Everyone's favorite part of the episode, Eve, the part where we get to hear the melodious tunes of you singing for your card. Are you ready for this?
No.
Hey, I gave you a heads up, right?
I know you did. As one friend to the other, you gave me a heads up. But it's not like the entire time I was thinking of what song I was going to sing.
Yeah, you can't exactly do that. But that's kind of half the fun, I think, is coming up with it on the spot. So it wouldn't be an episode if we didn't have you ring us in the correct way.
All right, so Deathwing. Oh my god. Deathwing, Dragon Lord, Destroyer of Worlds, burning everything to the ground. Deathwing.
And you have to say it's the card of the week.
Card of the week.
Nice. There you go. That wasn't too bad, huh?
Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
No, that was fun. All right, tell us about the card of the week here.
Deathwing is my answer when I'm in trouble. Basically, if I can pull him off of another Spite Historian, then he's my, you think you've got me, but you don't got me, because I got Deathwing.
Yeah, he's just so good. It's interesting because I wasn't playing at the earliest stages of this game, so I don't know how effective he was there. But when I jumped in, there really wasn't a lot of Deathwing at all. And yet he's kind of phased in and out, it sort of seems like. Why do you think that is?
I definitely have seen, like, watching pro games and things like that, where people are like, at this point, he's got no options except for maybe Deathwing. Like, just that kind of, he's the only option to win this game at this point, which is why I like him. But he also makes you discard all of your cards in your hand.
Which is a big deal if you have a hand. If you don't, you're fine. But
if you are down to, like, top decking, all the other person has to do is, like, sheep him, and that's it. You cry. You have no cards. Gosh,
yeah.
You have no 12-12. Like,
you just spent your whole turn getting nothing.
Yeah. But on the other hand, if your opponent has a board full of, you know, 10-10 golems and they're staring at you like, this is the end, you have no options, and you drop Deathwing, I mean, that just saved your life right there.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I don't know. I've always liked him. I've always liked him as, I put him in my decks just as that option of having a solution to an unwinnable situation.
Sure. And as you say that, it actually reminds me of what Yogg-Saron does, you know, because he's a Hail Mary that I can't win right now, so let's just throw him down and see what happens, and maybe he'll reverse the game. But Deathwing's a much more controllable thing because you know exactly what you're getting out of him, even though you don't know what your opponent has as an answer necessarily. So you're hoping maybe you've seen that one polymorph that may just run every now and then, and you hope that they didn't get one off of a primordial glyph or something like that.
I think maybe to the pros, he's kind of like, this is a card I need if I'm not winning.
Yeah,
and they have a mindset of, I'm winning. Like, I'm going to win this game. And so they're making their deck full of cards that are going to win them a game. And so maybe not put them in because this is like, if I'm losing, I need this card.
Right, right.
So it's sort of, that's why I put him in. Because I am often in situations where I'm like, help, I need help. Yeah. But if you're making a deck to win, then maybe he doesn't have a place in that if you have like a really pro mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, but even the pros will run, you know, Yogg-Saron, or they especially did before he got nerfed. But I think Deathwing has even been seen in, like, especially some, like, control warrior lists or stuff like that, because he enables, this is another AoE effect, and if you're playing a control deck that maybe has run out of steam, this can be the very final card that you play that just seals the game for you, potentially.
Yep.
It's good stuff. It's a cool card.
Card of the week.
Yeah, it's fun. I would expect nothing less than the pinnacle of what dragons are to be your choice, obviously. Well, that's great. Well, with that, we're going to close out the show. Just want to let you guys know that we're a proud part of the MMO Reporter Network, which is a collaboration of several different podcasts that are all on mission to provide fun and entertaining takes on your favorite games. So if you play WoW, Lord of the Rings Online, Guild Wars, or any other MMO, be sure to go over to MMOReporter.com and check out some of our other great podcasts. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help us grow, you can do so through the network, which is at patreon.com/MMOReporter. Some cool little perks that you get as well. And as always, we'd love to hear what you thought about the show, what you'd like to see added for future episodes. If you hate Dragon Priest, if we neglected your favorite part of Dragon Priest, I don't know. But we'd love to hear from you guys, and you can do that in a number of ways. Our Google Plus community is really, really cool. Got a ton of people over there always posting deck lists, fun screenshots, stuff like that. And you can find the link to that in our show notes. You can also find me on Twitter at AndrewsLiving, or find the show at TheHappyHS. And email us, thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, with any of that feedback, things you'd like us to talk about. And also want to remind you guys, every Monday night, I'll be streaming at twitch.tv/MMOReporter from 7 to 9 Central. I know that I neglected a couple of those nights just because of the craziness with moving. And actually, my power went out one night, so that kind of stunk that that happens to happen on my night to stream. But that's back up and running now, and really thankful for those of you who came out last night. Had a great time with you. So every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central. And I'd love to have you, yes, you, come on and be a co-host on the show. This is one of the things I love about this show, is that it is run by our community, basically. So if you don't have to be on a podcast like Eve is to come and hang out with me, and would love to have you. In fact, Scott emailed about that deck list and also mentioned he'd like to be on the show. So I'm really excited to have him on. So go ahead and email me, tweet at me. Just let me know you'd like to be on, and I'll get you all the details. We'll figure out an awesome way to have you on. We're actually overdue for a deck battle episode, so I think we might have one coming up. So that'll be a lot of fun. But Eve, where can our friends follow you, find you, and listen to the Dragon Priestess talk about dragons even more, and other things as well?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Finovarr, FHINNOVARR, and my podcast is Valen's Chosen, which I do with Rob, and I almost said Andrew.
I used to.
Robin Grant.
Yeah. I might be a little bit biased, but I think every single one of you listening right now should go and check it out, listen to the last episode, and fall in love with them, because it's pretty good.
Thank you. We're at valenschosen.com, VelensChosen.com.
Or, of course, you can find them in Google Play, all that other stuff as
iTunes, Stitcher, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah, Valen's Chosen.
Well, Eve, I'm so thankful that you came on, man. It's like old times. Like I said, I have to admit something, that going into tonight, I kind of wanted to relive the past a little bit. So I went back and listened to my last episode with you guys, and it was fun just to remember. Cause I mean, you go through 73 episodes with a couple people, and you make some memories, you get to know each other, even if you're just talking about a video game. I mean, you know, and we had a lot of fun on there. I had a lot of fun tonight just hanging out with you and talking about the current state of what's going on as well. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Of course. And I think it's your first guest appearance too on a podcast, right?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think of another one that I've been on right off the top of my head.
So you got to remember us small people when you make it big, okay? That we were here for you to help you launch into the stars, those things, yeah.
I will always remember my roots. And
there we go.
Part of my roots are Andrew.
There we go. And hey, thank you for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.